Welcome to Focus on the Community on WAMW. I'm Renee Lyle. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. This week joining me is Kathy Sullender. Kathy Sullender is with the Daviess County and she is the public health nurse. And Kathy, I know that this is a loaded question here, but what exactly is your job as a Daviess County public health nurse?
So my job as a Daviess County public health nurse working with a group of other people at the health department, our primary focus is to educate, promote, and provide public health services to the community. And that is a wide range of topics. So it can range from immunizations to outbreaks to preparedness if we had an outbreak, say a flu outbreak, pandemic. Or it goes down to we do lead inspections, we do tuberculosis testing and treatment. We work with women to promote healthy lifestyles. We work with the older population as far as disease prevention and healthy lifestyles. We also perform a lot of different services in the community as far as health fairs and general wellness, overall wellness.
That's just daily, right?
Yes.
In 1 week, in 1 month, right?
Yes.
Well, one of the big hot topics, of course, that we kind of want to talk about, and we can touch on some of those other ones too, is vaccines. And, you know, people, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, give me some advantages on why and maybe some of those disadvantages of why people think that they're not the great.
So over the last few years, we've seen an increase in vaccine resistance or people who's choosing not to vaccinate or perhaps vaccinating but on a different schedule than what is recommended by the state and by the CDC. And we've also noticed that here in Daviess County. Currently in Daviess County, our immunization rate is at 49%. So the state does a screening every year from children from birth to the age of two. And so all those children in Daviess County are screened to see how complete their vaccinations are. So for Daviess County in 2019, they go from 1 year to the next. So currently we're at 49%. So that means that from children ages of birth to age of two do not have complete all vaccinations. So we have a lot of families that choose to do an alternative vaccination schedule. So they differ from what the state and the CDC recommend. So they may still get their children vaccinated, but it takes them longer. Usually we see them up to ages 3 and 4 and 5 still receiving what we call baby shots because the parents are choosing to stretch them out or only give like one vaccine at a time or even refuse some vaccines. Here in Daviess County, we have a large population that decline the varicella or the chickenpox vaccine. So our rate of chickenpox vaccination is very low in Daviess County. The chickenpox vaccine is required for anyone going to a public school, but we have a large population that do not attend public schools, so therefore they're not held to the same standards, and so the parents can decline the varicella or the chickenpox vaccine. So that helps keep, that's part of the reason why our rates are so low in Daviess County, is the alternative schedules that parents are choosing for their children.
So, okay, so if somebody has a child, is it better to do those vaccines right as soon as they are born, or is it better to stretch them out?
So we received a lot of questions at the health department regarding vaccinations. Vaccinations are safe, and it is better to keep your children on schedule for vaccinations. Studies have shown the younger and the appropriate age is selected because the vaccines actually uptake better in the younger children. As children get older, the vaccinations, there's some waning and weaning of susceptibility. So they are really strongly encouraged at the time that they're due. There are very few contraindications for receiving vaccinations, and those are very few as far as like severe allergic reaction to where you stop breathing or, you know, break out in hives all over your body. For the most part, those are the only reasons we would not vaccinate. We highly encourage everyone to receive vaccinations at the time that they're scheduled to receive those. Most babies receive them at 2, 4, 6 months and a year, and then they see us again at 16 to 18 months, and then they'll see them again, you know, when they start school.
And vaccines aren't just for babies either. There are vaccinations for adults, correct?
Correct. We see a lot of adults at the health department. Adults typically do not think about vaccinations until they're injured, and then they wonder when their last tetanus shot was. So
I'm raising my hand right now.
That's usually when we see adults. And if you ask an adult, when was your last tetanus shot, they always refer back to their last injury. So we do vaccinate adults, and we encourage adults as well for all vaccinations that are required or could be recommended for their age group. There have been some outbreaks in the United States and in Indiana regarding outbreaks of diseases, and so we still encourage adults, especially if they're traveling, to stay up to date on their vaccinations. There's not as many as with the children, but tetanus is definitely a most popular one, not only to prevent tetanus, but also to prevent a whooping cough or pertussis. If you're an older person or an adult and you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren, everyone needs to receive a whooping cough shot or a tetanus shot to protect those children and the babies against the whooping cough or pertussis. So that's a good one. There's a lot of talk about shingles vaccine. There's a new shingles vaccine that is very, very effective. And so we have a lot of people inquiring about that. It is so effective that it's hard to get. So the company is shipping, you know, one box at a time. And so we give the vaccines, and then we put people on a waiting list, and the pharmacies are doing the same thing. So the new vaccine is over 90% effective, and it is a series of two. So you get one, and then you receive a second one later on. But like I said, when we get those, we love to give the vaccine. It's just getting our hands on the actual vaccine.
How long is the waiting list? Is it, you know, very extensive, or, you know, or you have to just wait about a couple weeks, a month maybe?
Usually it's a month or two, sometimes longer. We receive no notification. We just place the order, and then we wait and hope and pray that they send us a box soon. And they say they're getting a little easier and quicker with it, but we're still on backlog as far as getting the vaccine.
So if you have the shingles once, can you get vaccinated then?
Yes, after
already having it?
Okay. Yes, if you've already had the shingles disease, you can still receive the vaccination. They do recommend that you're completely done with your current outbreak before you receive the vaccine. There are no contraindications. Even if you had the old vaccine, the previous shingles vaccine, you can still receive the new vaccine. And like I said, it's a very popular product right now. It's very effective. And we offer the shingles vaccine. We also offer pneumonia vaccines for adults. We offer a wide range of vaccines, hepatitis A and hepatitis B. Usually we cover as many as we can. The ones that we do not provide are ones for travel, which would be typhoid and yellow fever.
Okay, so I'm not sure on this. This is where I have no idea. I had chicken pox whenever I was little. I don't feel like I got them that severe, but are shingles and chicken pox kind of related in that aspect or no?
We receive a lot of questions about chicken pox. Chicken pox is a virus. So once you have the chicken pox, the virus is inside of you. So that virus leads to shingles.
Okay.
So that virus is laying dormant in your body, and then for whatever reason, it may become active, and that's how you get shingles.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and that's usually the shingles will be kind of an adult chicken pox kind of?
It can be, but we've seen children as young as age 4 have shingles.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that was possible. Okay. And you talked about a couple of those outbreaks, but just kind of touch on those again. You know, just these vaccines obviously help with those outbreaks. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see these kids struggling and going through that. I had a twin sister and older sister. We all had the chicken pox all at the same time. I think we could have had stock and calamine lotion, but it didn't really seem to help out very much. But you don't want to see that. You don't want to see your kids struggling through that. And you as an adult don't want that either.
Exactly. So we have had some outbreaks in the United States, and one of them being hepatitis A. And Indiana has also struggled with outbreaks of hepatitis A. So hepatitis A is a liver disease. It's mainly spread in this outbreak through drug use and then sexual activity, and a high percentage of them are homeless or living in group settings.
Isn't that Scott County over in big outbreaks there?
So we promote hepatitis A vaccination in adults. Again, it's a series of two. Even if you receive the first dose only, it's between 85 and 90% effective. And again, it protects your liver against these outbreaks. Hepatitis A can also be spread if you're in a restaurant and the person that's serving you food has a current case of hepatitis A, and they have not used proper hand washing techniques, they can actually spread the hepatitis A virus during your encounter. And that's mainly where a lot of the fear comes in is, you know, someone says that there's been a hepatitis A case at a certain restaurant, and then, you know, oh, I was at that restaurant. And then we receive a lot of calls and questions about, you know, should I be vaccinated? Was I exposed? And we do some education there. But we always recommend vaccinations, especially if you're traveling overseas. Water sources and food sources may not always be what the standards are in the United States. So we highly recommend hepatitis A for traveling. Hepatitis A is required for all children in public schools.
Okay. And that's getting into those travel vaccines. I mean, you've named off a ton of vaccines that I didn't even know were even possible. But talk about a little bit of those travel vaccines, especially with people now they're going to be going on trips. It's the summertime. They're taking their kids to different places. Like, what's the difference or what can they get on those?
So before you travel, thinking ahead is very, very important. You do not want to wait to the day before or the week before to get your vaccinations, because any vaccination takes up to 2 weeks to get the full effect into your body. So receiving a hepatitis A vaccine today and leaving tomorrow probably doesn't provide you a whole lot of protection. So if you know and have time to plan, it is well worth your health to get in early and get those vaccinations started. So the hepatitis A, the whooping cough, and then your basic routine vaccinations are very, very important. So we're talking about your measles, your polio, especially if you're traveling to countries that still have outbreaks of polio. Mm-hmm. So your basic routine vaccinations are very, very important. And then, like I said, making sure your tetanus shot is up to date, your measles shot, and your hepatitis, especially A. And B is also out there. Hepatitis B is mainly with blood, or sexual exposure.
Okay. What am I thinking of? The mosquito-borne disease. Is there a vaccination for that? I can't think of what.
Zika.
Zika. That's it.
There are no vaccinations at this time for Zika or West Nile or any vector-borne disease. So prevention with those is the most important thing, trying to keep yourself from being bitten by a mosquito or a tick in the U.S. or traveling abroad. Like I said, we offer all of those at the health department. We do not offer typhoid or yellow fever. Those can be done at other places. It's just very important when you're traveling to think about your vaccinations, not only so much for you if you feel like you don't need them, but if you would contract a disease, you may spread it to someone who may not do so well with it. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that happen where a healthy person, you know, came back with the disease, but they spread it to some child that was already compromised, and then that child did not do so well. So not only protecting yourself, but protecting those around you is very, very important.
And so you said that it's a couple of them that you guys don't have there, but how would you access? Can you go to your general physician and or your general nurse practitioner, whichever one you go to, and, mm-hmm. and say, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. Can I get accessibility to this vaccine, or do they need to come to talk to you?
So we really encourage everyone, if you have a provider, to talk to your provider about your vaccinations and what you're eligible for and what your doctor recommends. And then if your provider offers vaccinations, you can receive them right there in your visit. And some providers do not offer the vaccines in their office, so then they're referred to the health department. Or you can go as an adult. Anyone over the age of 11 can go to a pharmacy. So the pharmacies now provide vaccinations, and then we also provide vaccinations from those from birth to whatever age you may be.
I'm sure, of course, there's a cost involved, but is there, you know, is it a big cost? Is it, you know, is it small? Or really you need to look down the road and say, well, I could do this now because in the long run, I might be spending more money trying to get all the prescription drugs to help me out, you know?
Yeah. So vaccines in the state of Indiana, we're very fortunate. They do take vaccination at a very top priority. So in the state of Indiana, we have some programs available. If you have insurances, most insurances cover vaccinations because, again, it's a safety and preventative health. If you do not have insurance, the health department can vaccinate anyone that lives in Daviess County or elsewhere in the state of Indiana. If they come to our health department and they have no money or no insurance, we can vaccinate them for free.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, and give them that number just in case they want to contact you guys.
So the Daviess County Health Department, you can call 812-254-8666 to schedule your appointment. And like I said, if you have no availability to pay for the vaccines, that should not be anything to stop you from getting vaccinations because we can do those for free.
Wonderful. Okay, so one of the hot topics, as I said, was the vaccines, but there are other people that are completely and totally against it, which we obviously don't don't appreciate, but I don't think that they're educating themselves and knowing how much that these actually help them. So for anybody that's anti, that doesn't believe in any kind of vaccination, tell them why they should, Kathy.
It's really hard to put into words how we feel about keeping your children and yourself vaccinated. And I know over the years, social media has not been very kind to immunizations and keeping your children healthy. I just encourage people to really go, if you truly have questions, seek out a medical provider, your healthcare provider, discuss your concerns and your questions with those. If you do not have a medical provider, reach out to the health department. Reach out if you are going to go out onto the web, you know, check out the CDC, check out the manufacturers of the vaccines. They run test after test after test, and all the information is there. But if you truly have concerns about the safety or your children's health, you know, your provider is the very first place to start. And then if you have continued questions, then you want to seek reputable places such as the CDC, the State Department of Health, for your questions.
Just a side note, Facebook is not a reliable source, people. Check and do your own research and do your own education on that. And, you know, and I get it. I mean, it's kind of funny, but not really. You know, you've seen this. You've seen everything that's went along this with people not doing it. But they're not really, like I said, they're not educating themselves on how to do it. So, like you said, talk to the CDC, talk to Kathy, give them a call, and they'll let you know about that. I think one of the other things is, too, you know, everybody, oh, every single time I get a flu shot, well, I get the flu. Well, you know, you're going to have some side effects, but talk a little bit about those side effects, Kathy.
Yes. Anytime you receive a vaccination, you are at risk for a side effect. And yeah, we hear that one a lot. I got the flu. And, you know, some people do get sick from the flu shot. But with any vaccination, the most common side effects we see are you can get a fever, you can get body aches, you can have just generalized not feeling well. The most side effect we see is fever in small children. Fever is a good thing. Fever shows that your body is responding to the vaccine and actually developing the antibodies, so that when someone says their child has a fever, I'm like, yay! That means their immune system is intact and it's working. It's doing everything it's supposed to protect that child, you know, against the disease. Adults sometimes, especially with a tetanus shot or the meningitis shots or the HPV, get a sore arm. So sometimes the shingles vaccine, since it is so effective, the side effects are a little stronger. So some people have headache, rash, body aches, and they last a day or two, and then they go away.
And then you're vaccinated. How long do these vaccinations usually last? Is it depending on which vaccines that you have, or are these lifelong vaccinations?
So most vaccines are lifelong. Booster doses on tetanus are recommended every 5 to 10 years. If you travel, some vaccination schedules are different when you travel out of the country. But measles vaccines, and we were talking about outbreaks, there's an outbreak of measles. So if you're born before 1957, you do not need a measles vaccine. If you were born after 1957, we would like for you to have at least one or two measles vaccines, and those two are for a lifetime.
Okay, great. And I was just thinking, our average listener, I would say right now, between the ages of probably about 35 to 55. So what would be your recommendation right now? If they have not had any vaccines, what would be your recommendation on vaccines?
So for that age group, the most important one at this point would be your tetanus shot with the whooping cough or the pertussis vaccine, your hepatitis, absolutely, hepatitis A and B. And then if you wanted to look into the HPV, which prevents against several types of cancers.
Oh, great. Okay. And the shingles vaccine included in that too?
You have to be over the age of 50.
Oh, really? Okay, uh-huh. Good. I don't have to have that. Yeah. Okay, we're good. I hope I don't ever have that. I just heard it's so painful. I don't want it. Okay, so to give them another idea again, we're just going to recap everything. Where can they contact you? And if they have any kind of questions, how do they get information about all of this, Kathy?
So if you have any questions, or if you want to schedule an appointment to receive education and the vaccines, you can call the health department at 812-254-8666. And again, we vaccinate from the ages of birth. I think the oldest we've done is 102.
No way. That's great.
So up until you no longer need vaccinations. But again, if you have established care with a provider, you might want to check with your provider first to make sure that they don't offer them. And then if they're not available, you're welcome to call us at the health department.
Okay, so I have to ask, 102, there's not a limit to the time that you really can get vaccinated then?
Flu shots are annual, and then this lady had come in for a tetanus shot because she was getting a new great-great-grandbaby.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she wanted to protect that little one.
Well, good for her. That's wonderful, thinking about others. That's wonderful. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me, Kathy. Really appreciate your time that you took out here. Again, this is Kathy Sullender, Davies County Public Health Nurse, and give that number one more time.
812-254-8666.
Thank you so much. This has been Focus on the Community. It is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. on Four Star Country, The General 95.9 and 101.3 FM and 1580 a.m. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Renee Lyle, inviting you to tune in every weekend to WAMW as we focus on the community.